Well, good morning for the third time, I think, now this morning. Let's look at the Word of God, shall we? This morning, if I had a goal to achieve at the end of our message this morning, is that we would be experts at knowing how to identify things in the produce aisle. Just kind of knowing the general sense of knowledge in this room, or this little test we're going to begin the sermon with today. I want to know if you can identify which one is the leaf and which one is the fruit. So here we go, ready? How many people think this is the leaf? Just raise your hand. Okay, and how many people think this is the fruit? Okay, it's going to be a really short sermon this morning. That's good. That's good. Nice to know where we stand. Pastor Jeff dies and stands in line at the pearly gates of heaven. He stands behind a gentleman who's got jeans and an aviator jacket on and glasses and a Hawaiian shirt. And they slowly inch their way to the front where St. Peter there is there to greet all of the guests that come to the pearly gates. And so St. Peter says to the gentleman in front of Pastor Jeff, Hi, my name's St. Peter. Could I have your name, please? And the guy says, yeah, my name is Jim. I'm a retired Air Canada pilot. He goes, great, Jim. Let me just see if I find you on the roster. Ah, yes, there you are. Welcome to heaven, Jim. We have a silk robe for you and a golden staff, and we hope that you enjoy your stay in heaven for eternity. And Jim, the aviator pilot, steps across the pearly gates, and the angelic choir sing and rejoice, and Jim's got a big smile on his face and walks into heaven. Well, Pastor Jeff stands a little bit taller. And St. Peter says, hi, excuse me, can I get your name, please? And Pastor Jeff says, yes, my name is Pastor Jeff Bjorgen, B-J-O, just in case you're not sure. And St. Peter looks down, ah, yes, Pastor Jeff, yeah, welcome to heaven. Here's a cotton robe and here's a wooden stick for you. Welcome to heaven. Pastor Jeff steps forward and crosses the threshold and silence. So he takes a few more steps and silence, crickets. And Pastor Jeff thinks to himself, I didn't think there would be crickets in heaven, but he stops and he turns around and he goes, St. Peter, I hate to complain. I'm grateful to be here. Please don't take this the wrong way, but the guy before me was an airline pilot and he got a silk robe and a golden staff. And I mean, I'm grateful and all, but for my cotton robe and my wooden stick, you did know I pastored a church for a number of years, right? What gives? And St. Peter goes, I understand, I get it, I know where you're coming from. He goes, but you have to understand, up here in heaven, results matter. When you preach, people slept, but when he flew, people prayed. Results matter. That's true in heaven. That's true in life too, isn't it? Can you think of any sphere in life where results don't matter? It matters in sports, it matters in sales, it matters in school. And thanks to the 90s rock band Extreme, who gave us this famous love ballad to remind us all it's true in relationships as well. It's also true in our faith. It's really easy to pray a prayer and make a decision to become a Christian, but do any of us really think that that's really all it takes? I don't think so. It's not enough just to say that you're an employee at Walmart. At some point, we've got to show up to work. And it's not enough just to pray a prayer and then to go and live like the devil. At some point, there's got to be evidence of a change of behavior in all of our lives. We all know this, right? Well, according to Jesus, the thought of having something to show for our faith is not as captain obvious as perhaps we might think. And so here's the story we're going to look at this morning. Stories told of Jesus waking up one morning and he wants breakfast, so he sees a fig tree on the hill far away and he walks towards it. The tree is full of leaves and he wants some breakfast. When he gets to the top, that tree doesn't have any fruit on it. So he says to the tree, may you never bear fruit again. And the next day, the tree's dead. The disciples freak out a little bit and Jesus begins his lesson. Now, if you were here a couple weeks ago, I alluded to this story. I briefly touched on it. You know that one of the great insights that came out of this story is that the fig tree is different than all the fruit trees that we're familiar with here in the Okanagan. Most of our trees, we grow leaves first and then fruit. But the fig tree is just one of those fruit trees that grows the fruit first and then the leaves. Okay, am I going too fast? I want to make sure we all get this, because if we lose you now, we've lost you for the next half an hour. So our fruit trees start with good and end up with a right. But the fig tree starts with a and ends with a. Right, so it's only logical that Jesus would see a tree in the distance, full, a fig tree full of leaves, and go, oh, logically, it must have fruit. Okay, a little quiet there. Jesus gets close to the tree, sees that the leafy tree doesn't have any fruit, and so he condemns it to death as a lesson to his followers then and to his followers today as well. We're talking about unmet expectations. He expected fruit because everything about the tree indicated that it should have fruit. A fig tree shouldn't have leaves if it doesn't already have fruit. Speaking of unmet expectations, it reminds me of one of the worst vacation moments that our family ever experienced. It was a couple years ago. We were camping just on Shuswap Lake. I never know how to say that. That lake near there. Shuswap Lake. We were camping. Nobody was sleeping well. The kids had duck itch. The food was bad. We were with a whole bunch of families. Everybody was miserable. It was hot. Now, I know you guys like hot. Our family, we're from the lower man. We're not really into your kind of hot. So for us, it was hot. So imagine tired, hot, cranky, duck itch, mosquito bitten, not fed well family after about 4 days. It was not a good vacation. So as we were getting a little bit frayed on the edges, we stopped and being the dad candidate of the year that I am, I said, we're going to fix everything. We're going to go for ice cream. And the kids cheered and my wife looked at me with those eyes going, you are the best husband ever. So dad gets all the kids and all the friends. We all get in our little minivans and we drive to the ice cream store and it's hot and it's Lake Shuswap. So the place is packed and we get in line and the tears are starting to turn to smiles and kids are saying, I'll give you a bite of mine if you give me a bite of yours. And everyone's getting along and we're thinking, we're going to save this vacation. It's all going to work out. And we get there and we all inch forward and finally we get to the front of the line and the kid behind the counter who looks absolutely exhausted looks up and he goes, sir, I'm so sorry. We're all out of ice cream. The guy in front of us got the last scoop of vanilla. In fact, it was probably rum and raisin, you know, the flavor that nobody eats. He probably got the last scoop of that ice cream. And I looked at him and everything in me was like, please find something in the back room. And he just gave me that look as if, mister, I got nothing for you. And we turned around and the only way I can describe what happened next was gnashing and wailing and tearing of sackcloth and ashes. And that was just me. And the kids and the looks and the faces and the, needless to say, we packed up and we drove home that night. That was the end of that family vacation. Unmet expectations. So let me cut right to the chase here. Folks, what does Jesus want us to learn from this strange story of condemning a fig tree? That we might know the difference between a leaf and a fruit. Let me see if I can unpack this for us. Let's begin by noticing that Jesus did not condemn the tree because it didn't have, He didn't condemn the tree because it had leaves. He condemned it because it didn't have fruit. Big difference. There's nothing wrong with leaves. Trees need leaves. A tree can't grow without leaves. It's got to have leaves. What do leaves do? They capture the sunlight. They convert it to energy and they nourish the tree with food. It's called photosynthesis, right? A healthy tree has to have leaves. And spiritually speaking, so do we. Healthy Christians have to have leaves. We need to have things in our lives that cause us to grow spiritually. Attending church, reading our Bibles, praying, memorizing scripture, Bible study, small group, devotions, Christian fellowship. Those are our leaves. Those things feed us. They photosynthesize our souls. They nourish us. They help us grow in our relationship with God. Healthy, mature believers in Jesus Christ are Christians who have lots of leaves contributing to their health and their growth. And if you're here this morning, and perhaps you're struggling in your faith today as you sit here before me, and you're struggling trying to find God in your life, and you're wondering if God is even near you, if he's hearing you in any way, it might be worth asking the question, how many leaves are active in my life today? I'm no arborist, but I don't need to be one to say that there's a direct correlation between that which feeds us and how healthy we are. So I'm going to pause here just for a second to say this. If I stop preaching right now, two things would happen. Number one, we get to Swiss Chalet before anyone else in town. And number two, that might be all that you needed to hear this morning when you came to church. I could close in prayer right now, dismiss you, and that would be enough for some of us here today to go, thanks, Pastor. I needed that. I needed to stop and assess the leaves in my life. What is nourishing and feeding my soul? Let me ask you these questions really quick before we move on. Where are you in your relationship with God? Are you spiritually hollow on the inside and just going through the motions? Have you lost your first love, perhaps? Is it possible that you have neglected feeding your relationship with Jesus? Maybe you need to consider the leaves in your life or the lack thereof and acknowledge that you've been the one responsible for starving your own soul. And the good news is that you can grow new leaves. You can even grow them today. At the end of the service, we're going to give you an opportunity to respond. And God can produce new life in you again. Now, that's a good thought for all of us in this room, frankly. But that isn't the heart of this illustration. Wait, there's more. Jesus condemned the tree not because it didn't have enough leaves. But he condemned the tree because it didn't have any fruit, because healthy trees bear fruit. I love that he didn't condemn the tree because it didn't have enough leaves. Thank goodness. Where would any of us be? I love the fact that he didn't condemn the tree because he didn't have enough fruit. Because thank goodness, because where would any of us be? Because all of this speaks to the grace and the mercy of our God. So don't lose sight of that. No, he condemned the tree because it had lots of leaves and had no fruit. Zero. Unmet expectations. So give me a little bit of latitude on this one. I'm going to take a little bit of a stretch for this illustration to make this count for us. But the truth is, one day each and every one of us are going to stand with a bushel before God and have to give account for our fruit. Okay? We'll stand before Jesus and he'll ask to see our fruit. Not his fruit. Little distinction. We're not talking about the fruit of the Spirit. That's his fruit in us. This is our fruit, the fruit that we've produced. And I wonder if a conversation might perhaps go something like this. Hi, welcome to heaven. My name is Jesus. May I see your bushel, please? You bet, Jesus. Here it is. Wonderful. Could you show me where your fruit is, please? I went to church every single Sunday of my entire life, including vacations. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you. That's one big check mark in the leaves column. But could I see your fruit, please? Sure. I read my Bible and prayed every single day. Wonderful. That's another big check in the leaves column. But could I see your fruit, please? I attended a weekly small group in my church. Fantastic. The leaves column is getting really long right now, but we're actually not here looking for leaves. Could we see your fruit, please? It's the fruit that counts, and where is your fruit? It's the fruit that counts. I know this sounds like a bit of a dumb question, but is it about the fruit that matters so much to Jesus? Does he love peaches and ice cream that much? Like, is that what it's all about for him? No. Only one thing matters about the fruit, and that is the seed. The life of the tree is in the seed. No seed, no future. So out of interest, I'm curious if anyone recognizes this building. Okay, some of us. Good. This is the kind of thing you'd probably see in like a James Bond movie, right? This is, let me introduce you to the Svalbard Global Seed Vault in Norway. Of course, half of you are from Norway anyhow, so you're like, oh yeah, we go there on vacation all the time. This building was built in 2008. Get a load of this. On an island extending 120 meters into the mountain off the northern coast of Norway near the North Pole and is referred to as the Doomsday Vault, designed to protect seed crops in case of an apocalyptic event to safeguard the world's food supply. Isn't that crazy? It contains nearly a million fruit-bearing plants, seeds, from around the world. Can you imagine what it's like working there? Hey, honey, how was your day? Good. What'd you do today? Guarded seeds. Anything exciting happen? Seriously? Someone has to work there and guard seeds and collects a salary every single day of their lives to look after our seeds. This vault exists and costs millions of dollars to build because governments all over the globe believe that if all else fails, we can rebuild the world again with the seeds held in this building because life is in the seeds. All right, you're doing well. The seed is all about reproduction, and that's why we refer to it as the produce aisle. So we answer questions like, what is my spiritual fruit? By ultimately answering the question, how am I sowing the seed of the gospel in my life? We answer the question, where's my spiritual fruit? By answering a question, where am I sowing the seed of my faith in the lives of others? We answer the question by asking, what do I do as a result of having Jesus in my life that will take root and grow beyond myself? The story doesn't teach us just to be a tree. The story teaches us to be a tree that grows leaves to bear fruit, to be a tree that grows leaves to bear fruit so that the seed inside the fruit from the tree might grow and reproduce life. And that, my friends, is a great picture of what Jesus wants our lives to be. To live our lives beyond ourselves, to leave behind a spiritual legacy, to invest our lives into the lives of others who are far from God, who are living in darkness, and who are lost in their sins. Anything less than that is self-indulgent and consumeristic. A life that is full of leaves. So, do you know the difference between a leaf and a fruit in your life? Leaves consume. Fruit reproduces. Leaves take so that they might give in order to produce fruit because fruit contains the seed. Going to church, reading your Bible, praying, attending small groups, they're leaves. They're all leaves, and they ultimately only exist, and we engage in those activities not for our education, not for our entertainment, not for our interest, but that we might take from those things and transform us so that we might go and do the work of the ministry. We might be equipped to do the work of the ministry where we might bear fruit. Leaves are simply a means towards an end. Nothing wrong with leaves. And when we stand before God one day, we will not be held accountable for the leaves in our lives, but Jesus will hold us accountable for the fruit that we did or did not bear. Here's how the Bible describes it. Apostle Paul says, "No one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Christ Jesus. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light." The day meaning the end of time, judgment time, day before God. "The day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work." Their work will be shown for what it is. And what's crazy, I think, and I might be wrong, but I think this is the heart of what Jesus is trying to get at. I know many of his Jewish listeners then, and even for us today, may actually and unknowingly be confused with what a spiritual leaf and a spiritual fruit is in their life. And some of us might not actually discover this distinction until it's too late, when we're standing before God on Judgment Day and our work will be shown for what it is. What do you mean reading my Bible doesn't qualify as spiritual fruit? You mean praying and fasting isn't spiritual fruit? No. The simplest and bluntest way that I can express it is this. If we only eat, 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 and we don't do, 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 we only become, don't finish a sentence. A more diplomatic way of putting that is what James said when he wrote the words, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. As a tree without fruit is dead, in spite of having lots of leaves, so faith without works is dead." Do you see it? So the big idea for us today is this. Leaves are great, but Jesus desires fruitfulness in the lives of his followers. If you remember nothing else this morning, and you go home, or you get that corner table at Swiss Chalet that we all want so badly, if you're going to talk about anything today, talk about this. Leaves are great, but Jesus desires fruitfulness in the lives of his followers. So let me wrap this up really quick. Number one, the story begs a few questions of us today. If you're here today and you consider yourself to be a follower of Jesus, do you have leaves that are feeding and nourishing your soul? How many leaves do you have? How healthy are you? Can you assess your spiritual health even right now as you hear the sound of my voice? What spiritual disciplines have you put in your life that will ensure that you remain a healthy follower of Jesus? Regardless of the droughts or the monsoons and the storms of life that will touch our lives. That's number one. Number two, are those leaves transforming you to such a degree that spiritual life is flowing out of you in some form of spiritual fruitfulness? You might ask, well, give me an example. Okay. Well, give me an example of one form of what spiritual fruitfulness might look like. It's a fair question. I like specifics too. Here's one. This is just the starting point, perhaps, okay? But let's start here. Would people you work with, live with, your neighbors, go to school with, would people around me each day know that I was a Christian if I never told them I went to church? Would people know I was a Christian if I never told them I went to church? Would people even know that I was a Christian if I never told them I was a Christian? We might be able to sing on a Sunday morning, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ," but do people know this about us throughout the rest of the week? How transformed are our lives? How different are we now that Jesus has supposedly made a difference in our lives? These questions help provide a bit of a way of knowing and assessing the distinction between a leaf and a fruit in our lives. And lastly, you might be here today and you might have come with a friend, you might be a guest, and you do not consider yourself to be a follower of Christ. You've come and you've politely sat through our worship and our message this morning, and this whole idea of spiritual leaves and spiritual fruit kind of seems a little bit out there for you. I get it. Thanks for being here this morning. But I would say this, perhaps you might sense in your heart that there is some sense of a spiritual need in your life that you would only or best describe as, I am not spiritually alive. I'm smart, I'm educated, I work hard, but deep down inside, I know that I need God. I've got a million questions and I don't have all the answers. But I know that I can't forgive my own sins. I know that I can't transform my own life. I know that I need someone outside of me to fix me because the way things are going right now, with me in the driver's seat of my life, it's not going the way it needs to go. And the best thing is that the Bible says that God is in the business of taking hearts of stone and replacing it with hearts of flesh. And you might be going through life today going, on the outside, I'm doing my best, and I got my hair product, and I got my cool shoes, and I got my thing, but deep down inside, the best way to describe it is that I've got a heart of stone. And every time that we gather like this, I believe that God, through his Holy Spirit, speaks to people's lives all across this room in a way that a preacher could never say it. And the whole time you're looking at me and I'm doing my best up here, but in your head, you're hearing a different conversation because you're having a wrestling match with God right now. And there's something in your heart that says, I just need to surrender my life and give it to God and hand over the driver's seat. I need to hand over the keys. I need to hand over the reins, and I need to get my heart right with God. In just a moment, we're all going to bow our heads together, and I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer that you can join me in. You don't have to say it out loud. You can just whisper it under your breath. And at the end of that prayer, I'm going to ask you, if this is really you and you're absolutely serious about doing this, just to slip up your hand real quick and put it down again. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to call you to the front. There's not going to be any spotlights that hit you from like a Mr. Bean episode or something like that. But I want to give you the opportunity to go, yeah, you know what? Today, I left this church a different person than when I came in. Would you do that with me? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray this prayer on behalf of all the people in this room because there's a couple groups of us that are sitting here today. Some of us are feeling the sense of saying, Lord, forgive me. I have put all of my time and my resources and my efforts into growing a lot of leaves in my life. And I have been so self-indulgent. I've been feeding myself, but I have not been serving and giving and seeing any form of spiritual fruit pour out of my life. Lord, forgive me. I admit it. I confess it. And I ask God that you would enable me to be able to live obediently, that I would be measured as a person, a man, a woman, a young person that bears fruit in the lives of others. You didn't die on a cross and forgive my sins so that I could entertain myself every time I come to church. No, Lord, I accept and receive the nourishment of your presence in my life. Worship team, I'm going to ask you to make your way to the stage right now. There's another group of people here that perhaps need to respond to the very first thing that we talked about today, and that was the leaves. You might be a tree without leaves, or maybe you've got one leaf that's just dangling right there, and the spiritual pulse in your life is very, very frail. You just need to say, Lord, help me grow new leaves in my life. I'm starving. I'm dying. I'm responsible for it. I've neglected myself. I've neglected this relationship. I admit it. But Lord, would you produce new life and new growth in my life again? Would you help me be born again, again, and again, and again? Lord, renew my spirit, renew my soul today. And now, just in the privacy of this moment, and I'm asking everyone to respect this, with every head bowed, every eye closed, and nobody looking around, I'm just looking out right now. If you're here today and you would say, Pastor Phil, seriously, my heart feels like stone. And I am so far from God, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to confess my sins, and I want to ask for forgiveness. I don't know all the answers, but I know I need that in my life. Would you slip your hand up very quickly, very quietly? I'll acknowledge it. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. You can put your hand down. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am, at the back. I'm just scanning from my left to your right, and I'm just going across. If there's anyone else, don't waste this opportunity. Don't miss this. I mean, we'll do this again next week. Thank you, ma'am, at the back. I see your hand. You can put it down. But why wouldn't you respond right now? Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. So why would you delay this? A simple prayer. Lord, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you take my heart of stone and would you replace it with a heart of flesh, one that's alive again, where I don't carry the weight of guilt and shame any longer? Anyone else? Going once, going twice. All right, then, Lord, I commit these friends to you. I'm grateful for their honesty, and I'm grateful that you are the one who is speaking to their hearts. I'm speaking to our heads, but you're speaking to our hearts, and I honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.